A movie based on the very popular cartoon show SpongeBob SquarePants opens today across the country. The optimistic Sponge has charmed children, their parents, and grown-ups who don't even have little kids. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
Many of us suffer through insipid kid shows for the sake of keeping our young'uns company, partly to monitor what they watch, partly in the hope that an occasional parental interjection like, "Now why would he want to do that?" will break the trance state before they become entirely passive zombie-like receptacles. We've come to look on Steven Hillenburg's SpongeBob SquarePants as a gift, a joyful spasm of whacked-out surrealism featuring one of the sweetest characters in cartoondom. This kitchen sponge-shaped sea sponge with two widely spaced front teeth and a laugh like a dolphin on a sugar high is TV's most happy-go-lucky optimist, a child man who takes joy in even a minimum-wage, dead-end, fast-food job at the bottom of the ocean, no less. Each episode is nautical whimsy bordering on nonsense, with ukulele music and flower cloud backdrops. It's old-fashioned squash and stretch animation wedded to a slacker stoner worldview. And at 11 short minutes, the length of a SpongeBob cartoon, it's just about perfection. The SpongeBob SquarePants movie is quite a bit longer than 11 minutes. It's not a padded-out short. The film tells a classic story with a classic screenplay structure. To save SpongeBob's boss at the Krusty Krab, Mr. Krabs, from execution, SpongeBob and his imbecilic purple starfish pal Patrick embark on a heroic quest to recover the crown of King Neptune, the tyrannical ruler of Bikini Bottom. Who framed Mr. Krabs? Why, that insanely jealous, one-eyed proprietor of the rival restaurant, the Chum Bucket, Plankton. Here's the first encounter between the tiny, gloating protozoan and our porous yellow hero on his way to the opening of the Krusty Krab 2, which SpongeBob is sure he'll be appointed to manage. He's so ebullient, he doesn't even realize where he's stepping or whom he's scraping off the bottom of his shoe.
So enjoy today, Mr. Krabs, because by tomorrow I'll have the formula. Then everyone will eat at the Chum Bucket, and I will rule the world! All hail Plankton! All hail Plankton!
I'm ready. Promotion. I'm ready. Promotion.
Ew, I think I stepped in something.
Not in something, on someone, you twit!
Oh, sorry, Plankton. Are you on your way to the grand opening ceremony?
No, I am not on my way over to the grand opening ceremony. I'm busy planning to rule the world!
Well, good luck with that. I'm ready. Promotion. I'm ready.
That's Tom Kenny as SpongeBob, using a Pee Wee Herman on helium vocal attack, but making it brilliantly his own. Well, good luck with that, says SpongeBob, proving he doesn't even comprehend evil. It's a measure of his decency that he'd risk his life for Mr. Krabs after being passed over for manager and after a post-heartbreak ice cream bender that leaves him a red-eyed wreck. All this is amusing enough, but I kept waiting for the story to zigzag and go hurtling off into the furthest reaches of absurdity. It does, sort of, finally, but the path is pretty straight, or as they say in the screenplay biz, linear. King Neptune, voiced by Jeffrey Tambor, is a dull despot, imported from a more conventional cartoon universe, and his friendly daughter, a bespectacled mermaid named Mindy, voiced by Scarlett Johansson, is only mildly more diverting, largely thanks to Patrick's habit of drooling and babbling, "She's hot," whenever she's in the vicinity. Things pick up when SpongeBob and Patrick, mistakenly convinced of their invincibility, do a nonchalant soft shoe slap and tickle in the midst of an abyss, as sundry humongous tentacled creatures prepare to eat them. And there are two amazing live-action encounters, one with a friendly David Hasselhoff, the other an unfriendly Cyclops, actually a deep-sea diver fond of drying out sea creatures and turning them into kitschy knick-knacks. Here Hillenburg and his animators subject us to the horrifying spectacle of SpongeBob and Patrick drying out into a real kitchen sponge and a dead starfish. It's enough to make you pray to be back in the cartoon universe, which you are pretty fast, thank heaven. There's plenty to treasure in the SpongeBob SquarePants movie, but for all the spit and polish animation and the rollicking soundtrack, this isn't the Yellow One's finest hour. I know Hillenburg didn't want to make a SpongeBob episode stretched out. He wanted a movie with a beginning, middle, end, and a stirring inspirational message. But I like my SpongeBob fleeter, more bubbly, without that big, heavy anchor of a plot to weigh him down.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Bob Purdick. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Ian Chillog directed the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm David Biancooley.